coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Jesus had been betrayed by Judas and delivered to the enemies. From now on follows the trial. Evangelist Mark in chapter 14 verses 53 to 65 gives the account of Jesus before the council. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. Jesus' trial took place in two stages. First, before the religious authorities, the Jewish council or Sanhedrin. And second, before the secular political authorities, Rome, represented by the governor Pontius Pilate. Each of the stages had three parts: preliminary interrogation, formal arraignment, and formal sentencing. The evangelist did not include a comprehensive account of all the details and stages. In the first place, Jesus is led to the high priest, who happened to be Caiaphas, son-in-law of Annas, the former high priest. The high priest chaired the so-called Sanhedrin, the high court of the Jews, made up of chief priests, elders, scribes, totalizing 71 members, including the high priest. An extraordinary assembly was called in a hurry to deal with Jesus. Once Jesus had been arrested, Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. In the company of guards, Peter was warming himself at the fire. It was night and cold. Apparently, the Sanhedrin may have met at the house of Caiaphas to ensure secrecy. Under Roman jurisdiction, the Sanhedrin was given a great deal of authority, but they could not impose capital punishment. To gain death sentence, the accusers needed proof that Jesus threatened Roman rule. Although there was no evidence that Jesus was an insurrectionist, his enemies would charge him as such. According to the law, 2 or 3 witnesses were required. There were plenty of people to come forward at the Sanhedrin's invitation to present false, lying testimony. The testimonies were grossly inconsistent. The law, however, required exact agreement between two witnesses. The witnesses maliciously distorted and misrepresented Jesus' statements. He had spoken about destroying the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days. These words were falsely understood as referring to the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. Jesus meant the temple of his body. He would die and rise 3 days after. The high priest addressed questions to Jesus, but he remained silent and made no answer. The high priest kept pressing on questions and asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" The Blessed was a way of referring to God without pronouncing his name. The title "the Blessed" was therefore equivalent to "Son of God." In other words, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" Jesus made this statement several times before, and now he confirms it. "I am the Son of God." And there was more to it. The high priest and all human beings will one day see the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Elsewhere, Scripture say, "Every eye will see Jesus, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." At Jesus' statement, the high priest tore his garments as a gesture of deep indignation. He believed that Jesus committed blasphemy by claiming to be God. In Judaism, the sin of blasphemy was punished with a capital sentence. All present came to the conclusion that Jesus deserved to die. And then followed the most dreadful manifestation of human wickedness. Some began to spit on Jesus, blindfolded him, asking him to prophesy, and the guards also beat him. The Jewish ruling council convicted Jesus of blasphemy for claiming to be the Christ, the Son of God. All the supporters had abandoned Jesus, and he stood alone, willing to bear the sins of the world. The evangelist Mark tells us in chapter 14, verses 66 to 72, about one of Jesus' disciples. Peter denies Jesus. "And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you mean.' And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him, and began again to say to the bystanders, 'This man is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while the bystanders again said to Peter, 'Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean.' But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. While Jesus was being beaten in an upstairs room of the house of Caiaphas, Peter was below in the courtyard warming himself at a fire. He faced an embarrassing statement made by one of the servant girls of the high priest. "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." What was Peter's reaction? He denied. Peter left the place and went to a covered archway of the courtyard opening to the street. Probably he hoped that no one would notice him there. But then, as Jesus had warned Peter, the rooster crowed. Apparently, Peter failed to realize the significance of this signal indicating the denial of the Lord. The same servant girl commented to the bystanders, "This man is one of Jesus' followers." Peter denied again. It seemed that all the odds were against him. After a little while, the bystanders said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of Jesus' followers, for you are a Galilean." Galileans were easily identified by their dialect. Peter's speech showed him to be a Galilean, and his presence among the Judeans in the courtyard suggested he was a follower of Jesus. After the third confrontation, Peter invoked a curse on himself and began to swear. This was a desperate means to make the people around him believe his lie. Then the rooster crowed a second time. Now Peter realized the significance of the signal. He remembered Jesus' warning that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed twice. It was too late. Peter had failed badly. The weight of guilt pressed heavily on his conscience. Peter broke down and wept. He was deeply sorry for denying the Lord. After his resurrection, Jesus announced forgiveness to Peter and also reinstated him in the apostolic office. Peter stands as a threefold example for us. First, as a warning not to trust in our own ability to resist temptation, because we can easily fail and fall. Second, as a person who came to repentance acknowledging his sin. And third, as Jesus forgave Peter, so he also welcomes you and me as we trust in his love and forgiveness. Sinless Jesus took our sins on him and paid fully for them. The first stage of Jesus' trial was concluded. Now the evangelist Mark reports in chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, the second stage, Jesus delivered to Pilate. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they are bringing against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. This is the second stage of Jesus' trial, which takes place before the secular political authorities. At daybreak of Friday, probably between 5 and 6 a.m., having illegally decided Jesus' guilt during the night, the Council of the Jews called an assembly to pronounce a sentence. They pronounced Jesus guilty and delivered him to Pilate, the Roman governor. The official residence of Pilate was at Caesarea, but he was in Jerusalem for the Passover. Pilate interrogated Jesus, asking him whether he was the king of the Jews. Jesus answered, "You have said so." The only charge Pilate took seriously was that Jesus claimed to be a king, thus making him guilty of rebellion against Rome. Meanwhile, the chief priest accused Jesus of many things. Multiple charges were common in criminal cases. Jesus, however, did not respond to the charges. He kept silent, to the amazement of Pilate. Prisoners predictably and vehemently denied the charges against them, but Jesus remained silent. According to Roman law, Pilate would have to pronounce against Jesus if he made no defense. The Jewish leaders hoped to get a death penalty conviction from Pilate, but they had not got it so far. Jesus endured the trial silently, without making a legal defense, neither counting on anyone who would speak in his favor. He willingly went to the cross for us. As the events unfolded, the evangelist Mark reports in chapter 15, verses 6 to 15, Pilate delivers Jesus to be crucified. Now at the feast, the governor used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release to them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. First of all, a common practice of the day is described. Ancient secular sources indicate that Roman governors occasionally granted amnesty at the request of their subjects. Now it was the local custom to release one prisoner on Passover to reduce tensions among crowds and thus to keep a lid on anti-Roman sentiment. One of the candidates to be released was a criminal who had committed murder when he got involved in an insurrection against the Roman government. His name was Barabbas. Pilate asked the crowd whether they wanted him to release the king of the Jews, namely Jesus. Pilate perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered Jesus up. They were jealous of Jesus' popularity. The chief priest managed to get the support of the crowd, and they asked Pilate to release Barabbas. The fate of Jesus, however, still needed to be settled. Pilate had to make a decision what to do with Jesus. The crowd shouted vigorously to have Jesus crucified. Crucifixion was a punishment so horrific that it was illegal to inflict it on Roman citizens. Jesus, however, was a Jew. Although Pilate had found Jesus innocent, he was not brave and just enough to release Jesus. He preferred to satisfy the crowd instead of doing justice. Similar things are done till this day by personalities who hold power and want to stay in power. To please people, anything seems to be valid. What did Pilate do with innocent Jesus? Two things. First, he had Jesus scourged. Second, he delivered him to be crucified. Scourging was a common prelude to crucifixion, adding to the physical agony of the victim. The scourging was done with a whip, consisting of a wooden handle to which metal-tipped leather thongs were attached. Being scourged with this whip was a fearful ordeal, ripping the flesh down to the bone and causing severe bleeding. It was a beating from which prisoners often died. Let us remember, Jesus was scourged. Crucifixion was the common Roman method of execution for slaves and foreigners. According to a Roman writer, crucifixion was the cruelest and most hideous punishment possible. Innocent Jesus, who took upon himself our iniquities, was delivered to be crucified. Before the crucifixion was carried out, however, Jesus was submitted to a dreadful treatment. The evangelist Mark in chapter 15, verses 16 to 20 reports, Jesus is mocked. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisted together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. What an ordeal, hard to picture and to comprehend. Jesus became the target of all the soldiers who were on duty at that time and of an outrageous crowd. He was dressed with a royal cloak, and a crown of thorns was put on his head, mocking him as an unsuccessful fellow who claimed to be a king. Jesus was scorned and mocked in the worst possible manner. Jesus endured terrible physical and emotional pain. Paying for the sins of the world was costly. The tremendous love of Jesus for us kept him on course to the cross. Now we reach Mark chapter 15, verses 21 to 32, where we read about the crucifixion. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them, to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of the Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. Condemned prisoners were required to carry the heavy crossbeam of their cross to the execution site. The crossbeam could weigh as much as 100 pounds. Exhausted from a sleepless night and severely wounded and weakened by his scourging, Jesus was unable to continue. The Roman soldiers compelled a passerby to carry the heavy crossbeam to the place of crucifixion. The name of the passerby was Simon of Cyrene. Simon probably was a Jew living in Cyrene, Libya, who was in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jesus would be crucified at Golgotha. The exact site is unknown, but it could have been a small hill that looked like a skull. Or it may have been named Golgotha, place of a skull because of the many executions that took place there. Since Jesus was in great pain, they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. Historical sources tell us that incense was mixed with wine to deaden pain. Myrrh is a spice derived from plants native to the Arabian deserts and parts of Africa. This narcotic was offered to make the condemned prisoner easier to control. Jesus, however, refused the offer. He was nailed to the cross without any drugs and fully experiencing the punishment for the sins of the world. Jesus was crucified on Friday of Holy Week at 9 a.m. Crucifixion was a Roman means of execution in which the victim was nailed to a cross. Heavy wrought iron nails were driven through the wrist and the heel bones. If the life of the victim lingered too long, death was hastened by breaking his legs. This, however, was unnecessary in the case of Jesus because he died in a matter of 6 hours. The soldiers cast lots to divide Jesus' garments among them. It was the executioner's squad to claim the minor possessions of the victim. Jesus' clothing probably consisted of an under and an outer garment, a belt, sandals, and possibly a head covering. The inscription of the charge against Jesus read, "The King of the Jews." The criminal charge against the condemned was written on a board hung around his neck. Then it was placed on the cross at the execution site. Jesus was crucified for claiming to be the King of the Jews. While on the cross, Jesus was scoffed and mocked by passers-by, chief priests, and scribes. All of them hurled insults at Jesus, misquoting statements he had made, and challenging him to come down from the cross if he was God's son. The two robbers crucified, one on either side of Jesus, also reviled him. However, the evangelist Luke tells us that one of the robbers repented and implored Jesus' compassion. Jesus assured him of forgiveness and salvation. The evangelist Mark registered in chapter 15, verses 33 to 41, the death of Jesus. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, say, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. While Jesus was hanging on the cross, God manifested himself in a remarkable manner, causing darkness to cover the whole region from noon till 3 p.m. Then, at 3 p.m., having spent 6 hours in agony on the cross, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, "Why have you forsaken me?" The words were spoken in Aramaic, one of the languages commonly used in Palestine in Jesus' day. In our limited human understanding, we are unable to grasp the depth of the agony Jesus expressed. These words reveal how deeply Jesus felt his abandonment by God as he bore the sins of mankind. There is no greater agony than being abandoned by God. Bystanders mistook the first words of Jesus' cry to be a cry for Elijah. It was commonly believed that Elijah would come in times of critical need to protect the innocent and rescue the righteous. The hour had come for Jesus to die. He uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. Usually, crucifixion made victims die of asphyxiation, and they were quiet at the end. Jesus, however, cried loud a few moments earlier and now again, indicating that it required superhuman effort, even divine strength. Jesus gave up his life of his own accord. At the moment he died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. In the temple of Jerusalem, a curtain separated the most holy place from the holy place. No one had access to the most holy place except the high priest once a year. Now this curtain is torn apart, which means that Christ had entered heaven itself for us, so that we too may now enter God's very presence. Now through Christ, we have fellowship with God. The evangelist Mark describes the reaction of some people who witnessed Jesus' death. A commander of the Roman army, watching Jesus in agony, listening to his words, and seeing him dying, declared, "This truly man was the Son of God." Absolutely true. Jesus, true man and true God, took all our sins upon himself, and for them he died on the cross. The penalty for sin is death. Jesus paid in full that penalty for us. Can there be any greater news than this? Several women who used to support Jesus during his ministry also witnessed the Savior's crucifixion and death. They were watching from a distance, expressing their sympathy and loyalty to Jesus. In 3 days, they would be surprised by meeting Jesus raised from the grave. Thank you for listening to the series of Bible studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. You are heartily invited to join us in the last episode of the series, which will focus on Jesus' burial and his glorious resurrection. There is good news for you.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.